Your body, I'm so tired of digging graves. And I shed so many tears, all my brothers done the same. For the ones who came before me, you could see you feel ashamed. Cause you buried all your demons, never put them into place. Nowadays I do the same, I guess it's in my DNA. I'm a grave digger, you don't even know my name. I'm a grave digger, haven't slept in days. I'm a grave digger, you don't need to know my pain. I'm a grave digger, it's in my DNA. Take away my land and my hand drum. Take my last breath with a handgun. I'm for the death, I don't fear none. My day ones know I'm a real one. I've been telling myself I had a good run. The young me would say at least you had fun. You could throw me at a grave, throw dirt on my name. But my pops always said you bad son. I think I was a god in my past life. I swear to God I do this in my honor. The good die young, I know that's like. I swear that you could put that on my mama. I've been down, I've been out, and I've been burnt. I'd be lying if I try to say it didn't hurt. Only thing I never been is a liar. When I die, you could burn me to zero. I'm a grave digger. You don't need to know my name. I'm a grave digger. Haven't slept in days. I'm a grave digger. You don't need to know my pain. I'm a grave digger. Say my DNA.
Red hand on my face with a hand drum. Hey, go bang, 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 I'm troublesome. My very existence is a resistance. That's nothing new on the grandfather's son. My war cry, man, I'm going in. Created, look out for the kid. Cause Jesus ain't died for my sins. I tell him my ancestors did. I'm a red man and my clan be the blackfish. I cleanse in the ocean, I don't need no Baptist. I got my hair long like my ancestors bald. But I shake it and shake it like Polaroid pictures.
Loyal to the soil with my dogs, call them Hoyas. Shed so many tears, I warn you that it comes with being a warrior.
I'm a grave digger, you don't need to know my name. I'm a grave digger, haven't slept in days. I'm a grave digger, you don't need to know my pain. I'm a grave digger, it's in my DNA. I'm not gonna lie to Wendy, you can see it when I reach. Couple thousand in the building, I'm a thousand on the stage. I'm trying to sell my building, I'm the one that should be sick. I just wanna catch a body, I'm too tired of digging graves.
Of the wind, and your arms have held me safe from a rolling sea. There's always been a quiet place to harbor you and me.
Our love is like a ship on the ocean. We've been sailing with a cargo full of love and devotion. So I'd like to know where you got the notion.
The boat, baby.
Rock the boat.
Don't tip the boat over.
Rock the boat.
Don't rock the boat, baby.
Rock the boat.
Up to now we sailed through every storm, and I've always had your tender lips to keep me warm. Oh, I need to have the strength that flows from you. Don't let me drift away, my dear, when love can see me through.
The notion said I'd like to know.
The Vancouver International Film Festival is happening now, with amazing films from around the world. One film that CITR is excited to be a community partner with is Sick of Myself. The film showcases the toxic relationship of Thomas and Sinia in order to portray a shameful desire to go viral. When the art Thomas creates starts to receive traction, Sinia has the urge to buy medications from the black market that have been banned for their hideous side effects. What happens next? You can find out at the screenings happening on October 5th at the Rio Theatre and October 9th at Van City Theatre. For more information about the film and how to purchase tickets, search Sick of Myself in the What's On drop-down menu at viff.org. Disclaimer, Sick of Myself is in Norwegian with English subtitles and is 18+.
Tune into Post Rock Friday from 10 to 11 with your host John P for the best in post rock, drone, ambient, experimental, and noise.
Hello, what's up, dear listeners? I'm your host Hannah, and you're listening to This Is Not Fine. This Is Not Fine is your healthy dose of rage about culture, internet, media, and society, only on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, broadcasting live from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded land of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. It's fall, which is the best season. Is that a hot take? I don't know. It's just that autumn has so much character, you know? It's moody and melancholic, and it has so many shades of gray, literally. Plus, I don't know, all that soup. There are probably 1,000 ways you can make soup, and I think that's beautiful. Oh, and don't even get me started on all the arts and culture festivals around the city. I mean, Vancouver is not particularly a fun city. We all know that. And while there is a lot of cool art scene here and indie scene here, but it can be few and far in between, with a lot of art venues finding it hard to sustain themselves because of COVID and lack of funding. So that's all to say that fall is cool because there is all this arts and culture festivals happening around the city. There is Vancouver International Film Festival happening. There is Vancouver Writer Festival. There is, the Cult is playing incredible shows. And then I believe there is Vancouver Podcast Festival that's going to happen. There's Hot Dogs Festival that happens out of Toronto, and so on and so forth. So, I mean, get cozy and indulge in arts and culture, which sounds like a dream to me. Today I am talking about, before I go into the show, I want to mention, before the break I played Gravedigger by Snotty Nose Rust Kids. If you haven't listened to their music, check them out. What a great band. They're an indigenous hip-hop group from Regina. And then I played Hughes Corporation, their song Rock the Boat. Okay, so on to today's show. Today, I'm talking about this play I watched last night called Hot Brown Honey, the remix from Quiet Riot in Australia, playing at the Kulch. You can still check it out. It's playing till October 8th, so get your tickets now by visiting the Kulch's website, which is just the Kulch, thaculch.com. So the play that I watched, the show features First Nations women taking center stage and is a vibrant combination of hip-hop, identity politics, acrobatics, comedy, and dance. There was just so much there. And what a good show. So I really recommend for folks who are listening to go check it out. And disclaimer, it is 15 plus. And yeah, so don't take your kids there. But maybe go if you're able to go. back to the show. The play features numerous skits consisting of spoken word poetry, beatboxing, and theatrical performances. The motto of the show is decolonize and moisturize, which is so funny and such a great slogan. And that really is the essence of the show. Women in the show are loud, unapologetic, and fierce. The show is raunchy, so definitely expect some nudity, but hey. It's funny, it's vibrant, and it's also quite moving. It's going to make you laugh, and it's going to make you mad, and it's also going to make you sad. The play really felt like a radical act of joy, love, and politics. And they don't mince their words. They call it as it is. They call out the patriarchy. They call out colonization. They call out racism. And they're telling it as it is. They're serving the tea. And it's piping hot and brown. With honey. I just had to. Yeah, so the show I watched last night, I went with my friend, and she thoroughly enjoyed it too, which I was so glad that she did. You know, it's always awkward if you take someone to a show and they're not a fan. So Hot Brown Honey defies stereotypes about First Nations women who are often portrayed either as the maid or a damsel in distress. And it conveys that through comedy and entertaining dance numbers, which perhaps is harder, I feel, right, than really leaning into the tragedy and misery of it and, I don't know, just making it something really somber, which is like, you know, we've had enough of that. We need to lean into the celebration and the joy and just the vibrancy. And having said that, though, the show doesn't shy away from grim topics such as domestic violence. And one of the performers did a breathtaking number on this, and it was truly something that I've never seen before. So other things that the show touches upon, as I mentioned, is colonization. So there's talk about land back, and since the production is Australian, they talk about the ongoing colonization there, but they also hint at the colonization that's happening here in Canada. But it still gives Indigenous peoples agency and does not victimize them. And I suppose that's what I really liked about the show so much, that it resists the temptation to lean into the trope of trauma porn, which we see often happening and is something that we need to move past. And really realize that folks, like something Arundhati Roy says that I think about often is that people have not, and I'm paraphrasing it, but she says something like, people there are no voiceless people. People have just been silenced, right? And so just remembering that these folks may be marginalized, but they still have a voice and they still have autonomy. And I actually want to share that on today's show, I'm going to be talking to the writers of Hot Brown Honey, and I am quite stoked for that. They are going to be coming onto the show in the second half segment, and I'm so curious to pick their brain about the show and just get a peek behind the scenes of how they came about it and sort of like what was going on in their minds, you know? So we'll have to wait a little bit for that. But meanwhile, I'll still keep going on about the show. Something else the show does beautifully is it pushes boundaries. And there's a lot of chanting that happens in the show. For example, decolonize and moisturize, which again, I said, I love that. I want that on a t-shirt. Or make some noise. So BD Boxer, who's the musical director and also one of the performers on the show, says this multiple times. Make some noise. Their name is Busty Beats. Busty Beats, who is the matriarch in the show and kind of the key person leading everyone, chants, make some noise. And that really, I think, points to and shows their effort in undoing the historical silencing that BIPOC women have faced. And the costumes, oh my God, the costumes were so cool. They change outfits like 100 times and they do it so seamlessly. And lately I have been really into all things fashion. Like I'm not me. I don't think I'm that fashionable. I try. But just seeing fashion and noticing how people put together outfits and what it says about themselves, what it says about them, right? Like drag, for example. I feel like a lot of equity-seeking groups, especially queer folks, use costumes and wardrobe as a means of self-expression and defying gender binary. So that's really dope. And something else that I want to point at is, actually not point at, but this is just my humble observation. But when I was watching the show, and after that, my friend's like, oh, like, what did you think of the show and how would you describe it? And I would describe it as Angela Davis meets RuPaul. So there was just like, yeah, it was very political, but it was also fashion and loud and vibrant. And there was dance and music, but there was also poetry and anthems and call for revolution, you know? So like so much to unpack. And for folks who are listening, Hot Brown Honey, the remix, is still playing at the Kulch in the York Theater till October 8th. So you still have a few days to catch the show and you won't be disappointed. Something else the show does is it really got the audience involved, right? Like as I mentioned, there are a lot of chants and a lot of sort of rhetoric that they want the audience to like say back. Like when I say make some, you say noise, or decolonize and moisturize and things like that, which were really fun. And there were so many throwback songs, which like were funny because I wasn't expecting them. For example, Rock the Boat towards the end. Because that's what they really did, right? They were like rocking the boat and they weren't apologetic about it. So that's just something that I am here for. And I love seeing Black women, Indigenous women, women of color, and femme and queer folks taking up space, marking their territory, and not having to subjugate to the white gaze. So that's what it was about. They talked a lot about feminism, but then they also did critique white feminism a little bit. And so I felt that there was quite a bit of nuance in that play. And they did, I feel like, try to cover a range of topics as much as you can, right? Without being preachy or without it being a sermon. It did feel a bit like, like really fast paced, or sometimes I couldn't follow the narrative. But then I imagine that's only because it was a remix, and I wish I caught the original play, which was in theaters in 2018, which I imagine would have a more slower pace and more narrative structure. But nevertheless, it was really fun and entertaining, and still you take a lot out of it. So I think this does call for a break, and I am going to take a short break, and after the break I'll be talking to Lisa, who's the writer and director, and then I'm going to be talking to Kim, who's the writer and musical director. I just want to give their intro before I take a break. So Lisa Falafi, I hope I'm pronouncing her last name right, is a multidimensional artist, performer, designer, and director. Lisa is the co-creator, writer, director, designer, choreographer, and performer for Hot Brown Honey. And she's been performing this play across 6 countries. Damn. The work, and it has been really popular and gotten a lot of critical acclaim. And it has Hot Brown Honey won the prestigious 2016 UK Total Theatre Award for innovation, experimentation, and playing with form. And then it won the 2016 Green Room Awards for Best Production and Best Design. And then the 2017 Hauptmann Award for Best Cabaret Performer and 2018 nominee for Best Touring Production for the UK Theatre Awards, which is wow. And Lisa continues to grow a cohort of incredible BIPOC creatives. That's her passion, through the Hive City Legacy Project, which first premiered at a London show at Run House 2018, touring 2019 and 2022. And we'll see the creation of a new Hive City Legacy show with Dublin Fringe Festival, who have commissioned a new Irish Hive. So they just have so many awards and titles under her belt, and I can't wait to talk to her. Last but not the least, Kim Bowers, also known as Bussy Beats, she's the writer and musical director of Hot Brown Honey. She's also a composer, sound artist, performer, and more. Kim is the co-creator, writer, musical director, and queen bee of the international hit show Hot Brown Honey. Kim creates across forms, commissioned by London's Welcome Collection and the Sick of the Fringe for the 2017 installation We Are the Latest Models of Our Ancestry, and was invited to be a part of Barbie Essen's work, Declaration of Independence, for the 2018 Venice's Diaspora Pavilion. She's currently making an album with an artist and is creating the soundtrack to the Hot Brown Honey Revolution. Oh my god, I can't wait. Yeah, the songs were really catchy, and I would love to have them release this and have a Spotify playlist that I can just, you know, listen to the music. Okay, so let's take a short break and I'll be right back. I'm going to play a couple ads and then some music, and then we're going to I'm going to talk to Lisa and Kim. So folks, stay tuned.
Caffeinated? And do you hate that greedy, soulless international conglomerates are succeeding in the cutthroat world of coffee? Sounds like local coffee roasters Trek Coffee is for you. Trek Coffee is 100% indigenous and military veteran owned and operated. Let's keep small businesses thriving. Stop by Sunshine Convenience on 4th, the Super Value on Commercial, or grocery checkout in the Nest to pick up some Trek coffee today.
The Vancouver Outsider Arts Festival returns October 14 to 16 for 3 days of live performances, artwork, and workshops at the Roundhouse Community Arts and Recreation Center. CITR is thrilled to be a presenting partner and will be broadcasting live on location on October 14th from noon to 3 p.m. to kick things off. Admission is free and all are welcome. For complete festival details, head over to the Community Arts Council of Vancouver's website, www.cacv.ca.
Love it while I'm wanting to flamenco. I just keep it spicy like pimiento. World, you wanna buy me when I bend low. Wanted me to ride like I like it too. I smooth sashay like flamenco. I lose my brain to the tempo. The moon shining with a red glow. The tone my thing from the game.
Yeah, you know, say everything set. Know, say everything blessed.
Everything blessed.
Baby, you don't need no defense. I'ma pique your interest. Yeah, I spent some time alone lately. Thinking maybe you could take me to the bright lights way down below. Hey, baby, wanna take me? Loving while I'm wanting to flamenco. I just keep it spicy like pimiento. World, you wanna buy me when I bend low. Wanting me to ride like a la ghetto. I smooth sashay like flamenco. Lose my brain to the tempo. The moon shining with a record. The tone bad thing from
morí
the game.
Matando lo que escogió. Se quedé mirando y enmorecido. Parta de pan, se bendecido. Vida no entiende de mí que yo. Si tú supieras, amigo mío, en vez de ver, haría frío. Si tú quisieras, sería mío. Podemos hacerlo como lo crío. Vamos a gritar. Pero escondido, ama bailarlo cuando es rocío. Quiero tus labios, quiero tu lío. O quiero hoy.
It's like I float, hope you know what you're ready for. I'ma take it slow like an edible. I'ma bring the show like a festival. Even though you're grown, I am terrible. Sexy, no comparable.
Everyone wanted to flamenco. I just keep it spicy like pimiento.
World, you wanna buy me when I been low. Wanted me to ride like I like it too. Sashay like flamenco. I lose my brain to the tempo. The moon shining with a wrinkle. The tune my thing from the get-go.
Girl, them skill are cheap. Thunderball,
Some give it to, some give it to, some give it to our girls. 5 million and 40 naughty shorty. Baby girl, all my girls, Chanda Paul say. Well, I'm on the way, the time cold, I wanna be keeping you warm. I got the right temperature for shelter you from the storm. Hold on, girl, I got the right tactics to turn you on. And girl, I wanna be the papa, you can be the mom. I see the girl them broke out on the floor. From you don't wanna work this performer. From you don't wanna man work can't turn you on. Girl, make I see you when them upon ya. Can't stand for the long, nah eat no yam, no steam fish, nah no green banana. But down in Jamaica, we give it to you hot like a sauna. Well, I'm on the way, the time cold, I wanna be keeping you warm. I got the right temperature for shelter you from the storm. Hold on, girl, I got the right tactics to turn you on. And girl, I wanna be the papa, you can be the mom. And girl, you got the chest out, but you know we ain't soft, cause girl, you're impressed out. And if you diss out of me, if you diss out, cause I got the remedy for make you de-stress out. Me have to flaunt it, because me God bless out. And girl, if you want it, you have to confess out. And a life where we need set speed, if you test my chest out. Well, I'm on the way, the time cold, I wanna be keeping you warm. I got the right temperature for shelter you from the storm. Hold on, girl, I got the right tactics to turn you on. And girl, I wanna be the papa, you can be the mom. I'm crazy now, this straight drop it and a Bridget and flavor show. Time for me make baby now, to stop boy like you, I get shady, yo. Woman, don't play me now, cause I'm a fits and fat, not greedy, yo. My loving is the way to go, my loving is the way to go. Well, woman, the way the time cold, I wanna be keeping you warm. I got the right temperature for shelter you from the storm. Hold on, girl, I got the right tactics to turn you on. And girl, I wanna be the papa, you can be the mom. With a player like me, with a brother like me, girl, there is no other. No need to talk it right here, the spark it right here, keep it undercover. Come and love how you're fitting on your blouse and you're fatting on your jeans, I'm a wild discover. Everything about you, baby girl, can you hear when me utter? Well, I'm on the way, the time cold, I wanna be keeping you warm. I got the right temperature for shelter you from the storm. Hold on, girl, I got the right tactics to turn you on. And girl, I wanna be the papa, you can be the mom. See the girl them broke out on the floor. From you don't wanna work this performer. From you don't wanna man work can't turn you on. Girl, make I see you when them upon ya. Can't stand for the long, nah eat no yam, no steam fish, nah no green banana. But down in Jamaica, we give it to you hot like a sauna. Well, I'm on the way, the time cold, I wanna be keeping you warm. I got the right temperature for shelter you from the storm. Hold on, girl, I got the right tactics to turn you on. And girl, I wanna be the papa, you can be the mom.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to This Is Not Fine on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. I'm your host, Hannah, and today I'm talking about this play that I saw yesterday called Hot Brown Honey. It's such an incredible show, and you can still catch it at the Kulch. It's playing till October 8th, and to get your tickets, just go to thekulch.com. And as I promised, in this segment, I'll be interviewing the two brilliant writers behind the show, and for that, I'm really stoked. Hi, Lisa and Kim.
Hello. Hi. Nice to be here.
So, thank you so much for coming on my show. Let's start by you folks introducing yourselves.
Yeah.
I'm Kim.
Wait, sorry, I can't hear you. Just one second.
Oh.
Oh, hello. This is strange.
Okay. Still going.
Okay, I'm just going to be right back. I'm so sorry. I don't know why I can't hear you, folks. That's so strange. Okay. Okay, I'm just going to go take a quick break and figure this out.
Would you die? Does she mean that much to you? I'll be fine. Glass to know my mind. I'm done.
All right. Let's try this again. We're back. And can you folks hear me?
Yes. Yes, we can.
Oh, no. That is really odd.
Oh.
Okay, I have my coworker Jasper here who's helping me out with this tech difficulty.
Can we talk one more time?
Yeah, can you folks try again?
Hello.
Hi, can you hear us? Check, check. One, two.
Hello.
Okay, yeah, wait, I can hear them now.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe it's the volume. Okay, that's, yeah. Now I feel really silly. I think the volume was really low. That's why I couldn't hear you. But it's okay. I'm sorry about that.
Oh, good.
Thank you so much for coming on my show. How are you both doing today?
Yeah, pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah, getting ready for another show. Mm-hmm. So getting into mode slowly.
Yeah. And I already talked about you folks before the break. And since due to tech difficulties, I think I'll just go on to ask all the burning questions first. So Hot Brown Honey, how would you describe the show briefly?
Oh, we like to call it a theatrical explosion of color, culture, and controversy.
I love that.
Like a, I don't know, we're somewhere between a political party, like dance party, and you know, a healing circle, I think.
Yeah, it was. It so was. I went to see the show yesterday with a friend, and after the show, she looks at me and she's like, "How would you describe the show?" And then I thought about it, and I'll share with you what I how I described it to her. I said, "Angela Davis meets RuPaul."
Excellent.
We'll take that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yay. Yes. Approved. So I know Hot Brown Honey first hit the stage in 2018, which feels like a lifetime ago. And the play right now is a remix of the original. So I'm curious to know, what was your motivation in wanting to produce and write this version?
Yeah, well, definitely, you know, kind of living through the last few years of being in a really different world with COVID and, you know, the amount of kind of, you know, not just everyone becoming clearer about what, you know, what is this world we're living in. So, yeah, it definitely was that, because pre-COVID we were touring a lot around the globe. So it was definitely, yeah, we're always on our world pollination tour, but then it stopped very abruptly. And over the last few years, we just were reassessing pretty much. That's what we thought everyone was doing, assessing, reassessing, you know, looking after family, all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so I think that it's still all the parts of the show that were before are still relevant. I think the conversations are more at the forefront. You know, people having more conversations since Black Lives Matter, obviously, and also the pandemic and what it's sort of like microscoped onto, you know, just like all the changes we want to see in the world. So I think for us it was, you know, a few of our honeys wanted to move on to have children and, you know, it's all the different things that happen in life. So we have new honeys and wanted to showcase their skills, but also, you know, like keep true to what our show is about, you know. And that's some joyous rage on center stage.
We love that. We love to see it. So I also, and I'm backtracking now, but I would love for you to briefly introduce yourself in your own words.
Mm. Well, I'm Kim Busty Beats Bowers.
And I'm Lisa Fatlafi. Well, Lisa. We have our little name, a.k.a. the game changer for me in Hot Brown Honey.
And I'm the Queen Bee. Lisa is the director of the show.
And Busty Beats is the musical director.
Yeah.
So between the two of us, we were able to, you know, create this show, which came out of, like, us really not feeling like we saw ourselves reflected much in Australia on stages, especially, like, main stages, you know, saw lots of the Honeys and people like us making sort of quirky political work on the fringes, but infiltrating those main stages was really difficult. So Hot Brown Honey was a deliberate act to infiltrate those spaces using techniques and styles and things that, you know, general public might be drawn to then bring them into the theatre under the guise of that almost, and then us be able to, you know, share our stories and hopefully change some mindsets.
Yeah, and fabulous costumes and the stage design, I thought, was really cool. How did you two meet?
Oh my gosh. So maybe 25 years ago. Yeah, we met Lisa was already doing her company. Lisa has another company called Polytoxic, and dance physical theatre company. And then I was doing music for a number of kind of works and plays. And then we met actually working in community on a festival called Stylin' Up in Inala out in Brisbane in so-called Queensland in Australia. And, yeah, we started, like, working with the kids and the elders. And then it was like we kept on saying, we should do something. but that happened for about 10 years before we
we sort of balanced working making professional theatrical works or making the music for them or whatever, as well as this community element, working in community and over that period of time. So we learned a lot during that time.
I love that when you meet someone who like really sees what you're trying to say is a very satisfying feeling. It's like, oh, this person gets it. I totally have had this with friends, and my always go-to tagline is, you should come on my show. And I'm like, okay, I need to stop doing that, but I'm like, you have great ideas, just come on my show.
Oh, that's what it's all about, hey? It's about those connections and collaborations and what we can do to enrich each other's practice, I think.
Absolutely. The collaboration and the community aspect of it. Yeah, I agree. For my next question, and I want to talk a bit about the first in the show. For the first segment, I was just talking about the show, but apparently I have so much more to say, but I want to talk about my a couple of my favorite acts. The one where, and I hope I'm pronouncing their name correct, Mayu Mutu, also known as the Gravity Defier, where they do this Cirque du Soleil style routine on a rope, which was so breathtaking. And it was just... The feeling was like the sequence felt very dreamlike, and it was dealing with something really grim, such as like it was talking about domestic violence, and it was very moving, but there was also like this dreamlike feel to it. I also loved the coconut aunties act. and I thought it was so Disney-esque, but then it was also radical because they were advocating for something like childcare, and I mean, even in my culture, in South Asian culture, aunties are just, I don't know, we love them. And it's like a bittersweet relationship with aunties. So, you know, I don't know, I could really relate to that. And I thought that was really funny. And I think something that it made me think of, like, BIPOC women being pushed out of the labor market, especially when they have a child and stuff. And the privilege test was a classic because I'm like, you never like stop hearing where you're from and questions like that. So now I want to turn the mic to you folks and ask you, and I know this is a hard question, but which act or acts were really close to your heart? And if you can talk a little bit about them.
Oh my God.
You get to watch them all.
Yeah, I watch them all. I love seeing all the things. Every night is different as well. So like, you know. I get to like, I laugh so much at the aunties. Like, it's so funny. To me, it's so funny because it's so real. And like, you know, it is actually going, wow, there's like a real, there's a universality of auntie, like across many different cultures. But that's definitely like, you know, both Lisa and Lilikoi take up that space that I go, this is the funniest stuff to me ever. Like, yeah.
And it's funny for us to do too, because we actually are the aunties. We don't, we're not the parents in the crew. Yeah. So like, I'm happily like make the merchandise, not look after the children, you know. And then there are other aunties in the crew that they like to look after the kids, but they don't want to make the merch. So, you know, like we're all balancing it out. It is actually like just amplified true life in that number.
Okay. And I'm curious to know, since you both are the writers of Hot Brown Honey, so I'm curious to know more about the creative process and the writing process.
Well, I think we tried to, like, not only sort of, like, use techniques from cabaret or burlesque or to think about how we might write some of this work. And we've always made work that's quite vignette-based and also, you know, we're from that era of, you know, MTV and hip hop video clips. And so we almost, this is like our live visual album. You know, and so I think when we originally started, it was all about how we can play with an audience's energy. It was more about their energy and like content, of course, all of the things that we talk about in it are our daily, you know, our daily lives. So we knew no matter what artwork we make, it's going to be around, you know, like how we're seen, whether that's exoticism or microaggressions or privilege tests, like you said. But, you know, but actually it was about crafting a journey that made an audience feel a need to rise.
Yeah.
So that was the basis for how we wrote the work, and why it's sort of you don't really get to sit long anywhere because we want you to keep building this energy. And it's taken a very long time to get there.
Yeah.
But I think we do. You know, when you see everyone standing at the end, like even those ones who are maybe not wanting to stand, but I feel forced to, you know, with the rising energy of the collective. I think there's something really powerful in a moment like that, so that they can feel too, like what other people are wanting. But that is like, it's a really hard like process to describe, I think, but that's sort of how we write work mostly.
For sure. And I just want to say you folks are so talented. You're writers and directors and performers and singers, and it's it was great to kind of see that repetition. I mean, there was a whole act about repetition is key. And also, I want to give I forget their name, the beatboxer. They were so great.
Hope's been with us from the beginning, actually. The three of us have been from the very, very beginning when it was in a small tent for 100 people. Great.
And what were maybe some of the most challenging parts to put together Hot Brown Honey?
Challenging.
Well, for me, the costume element.
Lisa designed all the costume and, like, you know, put all that magic broke together.
Oh, damn. That's
a lot of fun.
Velcro is our best friend, truly.
So, like, logistics parts, yes, that was hard in some ways, but fun also, you know, the transformative element that a costume can bring. So many elements.
And so I suppose I weren't particularly, the challenge was how to get our stories across or the words across that, you know, to be able to go, and we've noticed this a lot over the many, many years of performing and stuff like that. It's how to work with an audience, how to work, you know, it's like, you know, our early days included putting audiences off quite a lot, you know. So it's been like kind of managing that idea and these ideas around energy as well. You know, a study came out a few years back talking about live performance and how when everyone gathers in a theatre,
people's hearts start beating at the same time. So, you know, there's all this kind of magic around that energy stuff, and it's like we've just been working our asses off to make a show that will, that really works with that energy. Yeah.
But all of them, I mean, like, you know, you can see we use humor a lot, and that's how, like, that's how we're able to look at some of these issues that, like, we don't want to be triggering ourselves on a daily, you know, that's not what we're about. We're about, like, living our best lives and our superhero selves on stage, larger than life, you know, breaking those stereotypes. So for us, even though some of a lot of those issues, you know, it might seem we're you know, making fun of or whatever, but it's like it's our way for us to deal with unpacking all that stuff
you know,
that we live with every day.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will say I'm still reeling from all that radical fierce love that I witnessed and felt last night. And I couldn't help but draw a comparison. And I'm curious to know what you think about this. So right now we have Marilyn Monroe's new biopic, which is out, called Blonde. And it has gotten a lot of criticism and backlash that it's indulging in trauma porn. And people really need to leave Marilyn Monroe alone, in my opinion, and not stop making her biopics. But on the same on the other hand, watching you folks really celebrate the matriarchy and the joy, and it just felt really liberating to experience that. And you didn't shy away from hard topics, but there was just so much love and beauty on stage, and we need to, like, really, in my opinion, move away from the just depicting the tragedy again and again. And like you said, Lisa, like, we can trigger ourselves every day. Like, it's just going to be so tiring. So I'm curious, like, because I feel like sometimes people have good intentions, but they fall into those things because maybe that's what works for the white audience. I don't know, but I'm curious to know if you can speak about this.
Yeah. I think we try to ride the line continuously as far as, like, what's comfortable for our white audiences, but, like, or and what pushes everybody as well. So I think we're trying to ride that, and that's good satire, and that's good, you know, that's when you get it right, that's how you can provoke thought, but people are open enough to hear it. Because, and this is what we mean about our work earlier on. Sometimes make people shut off because we, you know, like, it's finding that balance where it's almost like you trick them into listening for a second, people who are a bit closed, or maybe haven't felt that or haven't experienced, you know, that, haven't lived in our shoes or seen their own privilege, perhaps. So, it's a tricky one. I'm not sure there's any magical, like, process for it. I think it has been a bit of trial and error for us, and we've been doing this show for, you know, 7 years or something now. So we've been able to, you know, and also new people bring new energy, and, like, so this time around we're still trialing a few new things, and they're at the beginning of their, you know, trial. See how they go.
And we do, like, I mean, that was the whole point, I suppose, of us doing this, was going, we've seen ourselves in so many representations which are not us. We've been the perpetrator. We've been, like, all of these, you know, quite hardcore representations where it's kind of like, well, we would like to be our joyous selves.
Yeah, we want to be funny and silly and, you know, all the parts of ourselves that we don't, it's like we don't get to look at much on stage, you know. So, that's what we wanted to do, and because that's what, you know, that's what's fun for us.
Definitely. And what do you want the audience to take away from the show?
Well, definitely that, like, I suppose it's the quote, right? The Angela Davis quote: "You have to act as if it were possible to radically transform the world, and you have to do it all the time." Yeah. So that's what we want.
We want them to make change on a daily.
On the daily.
Like, remember, repetition is the key. And, you know, like, all of these little things that make noise are continuously, like, they're all purposeful, hopefully, mantras that get stuck in your ear like an earworm. And just, like, you know, maybe people can have those conversations when they go home or, you know, or just feel slightly changed, even just for that hour. That's what we hope for.
Because the arts, it has the capacity to to change culture, and we live in numerous cultures that need changing immediately. Like, this world that we live in is not okay. So what can we bring to the table? We mm-hmm. bring our skills as, you know, artists who decolonize one stage at a time. So yeah, that's what
and that's
we're
what
gonna
we
do.
Can do. So yeah. we'll just yeah. keep doing that on the daily.
Yeah.
Know?
Mm-hmm. I also want to add that decolonize and moisturize is a great tagline. I want it on a t-shirt.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah.
Yeah. And for my last question, because I know we're nearing the end of our time, what's next for you both? And I don't know, for folks who are listening and for folks who really enjoyed your show, I'll ask on their behalf, what's ahead? And if there's anything coming up that you would like to mention?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, hopefully we'll be – this is the beginning of going back on tour for us. Like, you know, we have literally been taking care of our families and staying safe for the last 2 years.
Mm.
So hopefully some more touring coming up. Nothing to announce just yet, but yeah. look out for us on our socials. Please follow, engage, yeah. you know, have chats with us.
Yeah.
But also we've just come out of making a project called Hive City Legacy, which is we're wanting to make little hives all around the world of other femmes of colour, creating work like this and teaching them our processes. So, you know, hopefully maybe we can come back to Vancouver and do one of those. Or,
yeah.
You know, so that's what we're scheming.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. You know, our world pollination.
Yeah.
Sure. I love that. And honey is delicious, so. Okay, well, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely looking forward to see you folks do more incredible stuff out there. And hopefully in Vancouver, I'm biased. I would have loved to chat with you folks more, but maybe another time. And yeah. Thank you so much for coming onto my show.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us. This was having us.
Yeah.
Yeah, my pleasure. And this has been really fun, and I enjoyed getting a sneak peek of the process.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Great. Okay, well, folks, I'm going to wrap up the show with this. Until next time, take care.